Welcome along. It is episode 7 of 30 something gamers, and it is what the people have been crying out for. 30 something games goes weekly. Boxy, we no longer buy. We no longer buy weekly. Every week we can come in people's ears, and that to me is amazing.
A lot to unpack in that last sentence. No, you're absolutely right. We've bit the bullet and we're going to start taking this a little bit more seriously. So it's one a week, a one weeker.
One a week. And, you know, to make it serious and make sure, Boxy, I'm currently showing Boxy what I'm going to drink to commemorate this lovely meeting. This is called Dragon Soup. It is a caffeinated alcoholic beverage, blueberry and guava flavour. Let's see what caffeine and alcohol brings to the podcast.
As soon as I saw that, my jaw dropped to the floor, because the only other time I've seen that is on stag do's or watching homeless people.
Well, which are you going to go for? Are you calling me homeless or mindless, I suppose?
If you carry on with the mindlessness, then it probably might end up you being homeless. So we'll stick with mindless for now. But we drank that. I was on a stag do last year and we drove up to Liverpool and some absolute fucking idiot bought a whole crate of those things. And we started sharing them in the back of this horrific minibus and everyone was completely bladdered by the time we got to Liverpool, and it makes your tongue go a weird color. It's like that stuff. Yeah. Is it blue?
It tastes like the Incredible Hulk's piss. It's like a bright purple.
Shrek's piss. Wait a minute, the Incredible Hulk is green.
Are you a Marvel nerd?
I'm more of a DC kind of guy.
You can get any color Hulk these days. You got a red, you got a green, you got a blue, you got a blueberry and guava Hulk.
Well, I'm going to respond to that. I am drinking a lovely glass of red to commemorate, and it is a late one. So I thought I'd get a bottle of wine for the occasion. And this one's actually a bit more expensive than what I usually go for. I usually go for £3.50 piss in the bottom shelf of Aldi, but this one's actually about £8 or £9, so which is quite a lot for me.
Pushing the boat out.
Exactly, but you know, it's a special occasion, and drinking red wine, things may get a little bit frisky.
Does this sum us up? I'm here drinking a neon dragon soup and you're sipping on like a Merlot. Like,
it sounds like it was planned, but it's actually not.
It's not planned at all. Yeah. My little boy's a little bit poorly at the minute, so he had a rough night. So when we were recording at this time, I thought, I'm going to need some caffeine. And I just saw it sitting there because I'd avoided it last week when I was drinking. So I just thought, hey-ho. Anyway, let's get off neon drinks and let's talk about what have you been playing, Boxy, over the last couple of weeks? Enlighten us.
Well, it's not been too long since we last spoke, so I haven't got too much in the can at the moment. And because it is Easter break and my lovely wife is off and we're spending time with the family, and Black Mirror has just started again, so I've been sinking most of my free time into watching that, and it's actually really ridiculously good if you haven't watched it yet. Black Mirror is back on form, because I thought the last two seasons was crap, but I thought a lot of this one. So I've mainly been playing Spider-Man 2, and not the Spider-Man 2 that I love to my heart. This is the very recent Spider-Man 2, which I did play a while ago when it originally came out. But I really like the swinging. I think it's quite meditative and calming. And I had a few gripes with it the first time I played. I thought, you know what, I'm going to give it another go. And you know what, I still have those same gripes. First of all, it's a really good plot, by the way. I love the plot.
Can we just talk about plot? Yeah. I've got number two. I've platinumed the first one. I've platinumed Miles Morales. I haven't played two yet, so no spoilers.
Oh, no spoilers. I mean, the plot is what it is. Kraven the Hunter, they've just had a shitty film come out about him. But it's really funny because he literally just wakes up one day and says, I'm going to go to New York City and challenge every supervillain in the world to a who's got the biggest penis competition. He literally just challenges them and says, I'm the new guy around here. Come take me on if you think you can. bitch.
So there's a question I didn't think I'd be answering. Which of the Sinister Six do we think has the biggest penis?
Ooh. I mean, it probably would be Kraven.
Do you think?
He's,
Kingpin's... he's over-egging the pudding, isn't it? He's definitely not got anything, not anything to shout home about.
Kraven is all man.
But he might be on the gas, and that can affect it.
He's a hunter. There's nothing pharmaceutical going on in his body. He's a raw meat and deer piss sort of man.
Right. Well, you're starting to get love hearts in your eyes, Boxy. I'm a little bit worried because you always forget as well. And I'm recording this, and I can do the edit, and I can do anything I want with it. And I have now got the line from you. I love the swinging, which is great. I can use that to my advantage, however I want. From going from love and swinging to love and craving, there's something going on there.
That's very quick for you, Tom Modder. No, I like Kraven because I see myself in him.
What? No. Wait, I'm stopping this.
I can see me and Kraven over a bottle of red with some raw mutton putting the world to rights.
Bet Kraven has never been put in a butcher's bin.
No, he probably is the butcher's bin.
Yeah, he is. He puts people in the butcher's bin, basically.
He does. So I've been playing that. And yeah, a few more gripes. So there's two Spider-Men. It's very clever because it's Spider-Man 2 and there's two Spider-Men in this game.
See what they did.
But here's my issue. They call each other Spider-Man. And logistically, that's a nightmare.
Well, not if you're one of the Spider-Men, because you just say Spider-Man and you're not going to answer to yourself.
No. But that goes for everyone in New York as well. So one Spider-Man could be saving a bus full of nuns or something from blowing up into flames. And the other Spider-Man could have been saving some little girl's balloon. And it's like, oh, yeah, Spider-Man saved me. And it's like, yeah, the good one or the shitty one who just, you know, helped a little girl.
do they know there's two, though, or do they think he's just got like a change of outfit for the seasons?
It's a good point, actually. I can't really think,
because they might just think that there's one Spider-Man and he's just, you know, me red and blue suits in the wash. I've got me black and red one on.
Yeah, but one's all sparky and electric powered, and Spider-Man's just generic cum coming out of his hands.
Pardon. It's not generic cum, is it? It's radioactive cum, and that's completely different.
And this there's already a theme with this podcast already. Do you think, because of Spider-Man, who he is, and in my content, I always refer to him as a gimp because I think he does look like one. Do you think Spider-Man is the poster child for gimps out there? Because there's a lot of Freudian psychosis going on underneath the surface. You know, a man going around in rubber, flinging cum everywhere.
Right. This has given me an insight into your psychosis, Boxy, because I don't think anyone else in the world links Spider-Man to gimps. I mean, not that I see many gimps day to day, but I've never seen a red and blue one.
Exactly. I think I could have started a conversation here. I can see the academic papers coming out now. Hashtag GIMP.
I don't think there's any academic papers with hashtag GIMP at the end.
And just for the record, I'd like to apologise to any GIMPs out there who might be listening to this and took offence. I don't mean it.
Maybe our Helsinki listener could be head of the Helsinki GIMP. What would it be? Association? Helsinki HGE?
I'm still hanging on to my dead grandmother being our Helsinki listener. I feel like she's taking quite an odd direction to haunt me.
I was going to say, did your gran ever live in Helsinki?
No, my dear old grandmother spent most of her life in Lower Gornal in West Midlands.
Lower Gornal? That sounds like something I stretched when I was going to the gym. What have you done? Oh, I've torn me Lower Gornal.
But no, my sweet old grandmother, she left this mortal coil and apparently transitioned over to Helsinki and is haunting us by listening to it, listening to this shit.
Well, didn't we see it? It's probably our purgatory. It's probably her in limbo. It's not a massive spider following her. It's just she has to listen to us talk shit. And the more episodes we bring out, it's just, I mean, what would be a, a sort of unfinished business. That's what I'm talking about. Unfinished what would business. Be our unfinished business that would help us stop listening to us?
Maybe if we start getting along. If there's one episode where we don't insult each other, maybe. And you've already said I'm mentally damaged from my GIMP comment.
I think people in the comments below will probably agree with me that Spider-Man has nothing to do with GIMPs. Let's just move on from that, because it is... Not only are we going weekly, I have taken over trivia for this episode. And it is chef kiss compared to your trivia. But I did say last week, I would allow you your little dig at us. Or are you going to have a dig at yourself this time?
Why would I dig at myself? No.
Because you're going to find out. So you'd have to say, we're going to find out whether I'm, rather, because you're not going to find out whether I am. I'm not answering the questions.
No, I'm going to frame it in what I used to do before.
All
so
right.
Normally, in this section, which is my favourite section of the podcast, but Tom felt the need to take it away from me.
Because you were shite.
But usually in this section, I would ask Tom a series of questions to put his knowledge to the test to find out whether he's a true gamer or whether he's one of these posers who thinks that Nier Automata is some Norwegian car manufacturer.
That's a good one. I have the Platinum on Nier Automata though, so...
It's bloody good, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's really good because at the end, if you haven't got any trophies, you can go to the shop and actually buy them. How good is that?
What, trophies?
You can buy the trophies. So there's a couple of really hard bosses that was like, oh, you go to the shop and all you can buy all the achievements. They're ridiculously priced, so you may as well unlock them all if you're trying to sort of buy them all. But the last couple, I could just buy.
Well, that's a complete waste of flipping time, isn't it?
Well, it's not. Really, it's saving time. It's the opposite. Because you always say that platinum hunting is a waste of time, so surely buying the platinums isn't.
But that's cheating.
Yeah, but you wouldn't buy them all because the price you have to buy them at, you'd be like grinding for so many hours, you may as well just do most of them. So it is just to unlock one or two maybe trophies. I thought it was great.
God, if I hadn't already written out my unpopular opinion for the next episode, I would have flipping used that. Jesus, well, what a cop-out.
Yeah, this is coming from the man whose only trophy on Nier Automata is the trophy for moving the camera to look up at a skirt.
Excuse me, I got quite a long way into Nier Automata. I think I got like four of the endings, which is quite a lot for me.
Did you get the trophy for looking up a skirt?
God, I don't know.
Yeah, like I don't think I have you on PSN, I've just realised that.
Yeah, let's keep it that way.
Because yeah, he definitely has it. Because I can go down the line of, I'm a trophy hunter, I needed to do it. But if you're not a trophy hunter and you've got that trophy, it's not good, is it? Not good.
No, I think I would have remembered that one if that was actually a trophy.
It is, but I think you could probably also get it by accident by moving the camera to try and have a look at stuff.
Okay.
I think that's what people go down. But I think it's a great trophy because if you unlock it, it makes you think, shit, I've got to unlock all the others to hide this one and pretend I was like trophy hunting, which I was, by the way, I'm a trophy hunter. Anyway, on to the trivia. Now, the trivia, I know that you're a prolific Googler and I know you've probably got a laptop and a phone underneath and you're going to Google it. So I thought, rather than... This time, next time I might, but this time, really testing your knowledge. I thought I would test your logic.
Logic?
Logic. Now,
but my logic's completely different to your logic.
We will see. My round, because all of our stuff's stolen, is from a man called Carl Pilkington. Now, Carl Pilkington was on XFM for years and had a segment called Rockbusters.
Yep.
Now, on Rockbusters... Obviously, Carl Pilkington's mind is a strange place. He would describe a band or artist, something like that, in a sort of cryptic clue type of way for them to guess. So I have, let me have a look, 1, 2, 3, 4 cryptic, we could call them, Game Busters, and
yeah,
see if you get them. And the first one is a bit of an easy one, okay? So they're only ramping up from here. So That over there is Barbie's boyfriend who works in Curry's. That over there is Barbie's boyfriend. He works in Curry's.
Okay, Ken. Oh. Is that the first word?
It's not the first word, it's part of it.
Kingdom Hearts?
No. It's not the first part of the word.
Ooh,
it's, I'll tell you what, it's two syllables, and the second syllable you've got. What would his nickname be? Barbie's boyfriend over there. He works in Curry's.
I mean, it's Ken.
Yeah.
Is it Bar Ken?
No. But what's Bar got to do with Curry's?
Barbie.
No, what would the Curry's part be? You've got the Barbie
Tech.
Bit. What?
Tech.
Go on then, put it together.
Ken Tech.
Other way around?
Tekken. Yeah. Why Curry's?
Well, you got it. You're seeing that like you didn't get it. Tech Ken? What tech shop would you have picked?
I wouldn't have picked any bloody shop. I would have said, like, Ken is holding a laptop, a phone, and a microphone.
Yeah. Well, whatever. Right, so you've got that one. So I've
Tech
already
Ken,
proved...
for God's sake. This is why people need to stay in their lanes. This was my bloody section
no,
of the
podcast. No, this is better. This is. I want in the comments, let me know, is this better than Boxy's AI slop trivia? So, next one. Don't feel sorry for her. She stole all those dogs. She should be upset.
Don't feel sorry for her.
She stole all those dogs, so she should be upset.
Dog catcher?
No. Have a think. Who's famous? I shouldn't be giving these clues.
Well, no, you should, because...
Who's famous for stealing dogs?
Cruella De Vil. Don't be sorry for her.
She should be upset. She stole all
those
dogs.
Sad Cruella. Sad Deville. Sad Deville.
We're getting closer. Put Deville first.
Deville sad.
And if you're sad, what might you do?
Cry Deville.
Put Deville first.
Deville cry. Oh, for God. Devil May Cry.
I've laughed so hard. Don't talk. I've laughed so hard I've knocked my headphones out. That's a great one.
Deville may cry.
Devil
but
may
you're
cry.
Saying don't let her cry. You
no,
should have
I said
she
should cry. She stole all those. She should cry. Yeah. So you need to listen to the question.
Deville may cry.
You might want to go at me trivia, but I can see that smirk. You love that.
I'd just like to point out to the listeners that Tom is educating our youth of today. And he sat there drinking dragon soup and feeding me this drivel. Carry on.
Right. So finish this sentence. Boxy's favourite Indiana Jones' Temple of Doom.
I'm trying to remember all the Indiana Jones films. Temple of Doom, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Boxy's favourite Indiana Jones' Temple of Doom. If we were on this podcast, finish the sentence.
Tom's.
You've already mentioned it.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
No, say my name.
Tom. Raider. Tomb Raider.
That was a good one. I think that you're getting these quick because I'm a better trivia master rather than you being smarter than me. Can I just say that? Preface that before we
know
what I think.
Your hints are just like leading me to it easier. And,
this one, I'm not going to give you any hints. And if it takes a long time, I'll just cut it out on the edit. And I'll see how long I cut out of you. Did you hear last week?
Yeah, I did. And I was fuming. Because on the last episode, the question, it was all about game reviews. And I said, who said this? And the question was too much water. And in within about a millisecond, you hear Tom say Legend of Zelda Wind Waker, which was the right answer. But in real time, what actually happened was we were going back and forth for about, I don't know, 2 days trying to figure it out, and then he just cut all that out to make himself sound semi-intelligent. But that's
we talk about that question. Someone has actually came at you in the comments and said it wasn't for Wind Waker, it was for Pokemon. Oh, I don't know what you got, Emerald, Sapphire, something like that. Apparently,
no, it was definitely for Wind Waker. I mean, they might have said that for Pokemon as well.
There's no way there's two reviews that say too much water.
I would say, I mean, I know you're going to make fun of me, but Google it.
I will. Anyway, the last one. I will cut it out and I'm putting it in because this could be a little bit like pulling teeth. This is the hardest one. You ready?
Go for it.
What are James Bond, Jason Bourne, and Austin Powers doing over there in a row, pulling something on the ground? What are James Bond,
right.
Jason Bourne, and Austin Powers doing over there in a row, pulling something on the ground?
Okay, spy.
Yeah.
Spy.
In what they're doing over there in a row, pulling something
line.
On the ground?
Line. In a row, line.
Oh,
pulling something. I've weeding.
I've broke it. Wait a minute. Pretend I said James Bond, Jason Bourne, and Austin Powers, they're in a line. I said in a line, not row.
So row. All right, I'm going to guess that row is in the answer.
Yeah.
Spyro.
Oh, and pulling something on the ground.
Spyro. The dragon? I don't know what.
Dragon?
Dragon. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
My favorite, one of my favorite chap lines. That.
I go on, then I'll let you.
Do you know which one I'm talking?
Yes,
do you know which
one
I'm
exactly
talking
which
about?
One you're talking about? I'm really annoyed that I said raw. I think. Oh.
And you used to be a quizmaster. This is amateur hour.
I did, but I didn't double check them for us because this is just we just wing this, don't we? Like if I was doing an actual quiz on a, like at a pub or something like that, I think about my questions for you. Just any old shite that comes out. Well. So, I'm going to say you got 4 out of 4 because of my brilliant quizzing. And in the comments, people are going to say we prefer Tom's trivia to Boxy's bullshit.
I beg to differ. Can I just clarify?
Yeah.
I get to have trivia back next episode.
Next episode, then. Next episode, you can have trivia back.
Wonderful.
Okay. Honest, jokes aside, what you're giving me for my trivia round?
Yeah, it was interesting way of doing things. I remember when Carl Pilkington did that on Rockbuster, and his were impossible.
Yeah.
I mean, when he used to do the music ones, and some of them were hilarious. It was like he did Beyonce once.
Beyonce.
It's like, oh, something's bobbing up and down in the water.
There's one I always love. What would a Jamaican say on the Titanic? And it was. Christaberg. Christaberg. Just sort of like, I could never get to his brilliance, but I thought I'd give it a go. Let's just stop that. Let's move on to remake, recycle, and remaster. I should obviously recycle last. You know what it is? I always forget what three are every time and just go for it as they're going through. But if you don't know, what we're going to do is we're going to choose three games. One we're going to remaster, one we're going to recycle, put it in the bin, and one we're going to completely remake from the ground up. And this week we have went for some movie classics. So we have went for all PS2 games, Scarface on the PS2, Godfather on the PS2, and The Warriors Come Out to Play. Give us your take on it. What you're going for with these three?
I need to say that I love all three of these games. I think this was the PS2 in its absolute heyday, just banger after banger. And these three are very close to my heart because they're so mature, they're so adult. And any opportunity to talk about the Warriors, I'm going to take it. So the first one, the Warriors. First of all, I think this was Rockstar taking a huge gamble. Because The Warriors wasn't a massive film back in the day. It was this cult sort of punk film in the 70s that clearly had its fans, but it wasn't very mainstream. It wasn't, you know, like Halloween or The Thing or anything like that. It just had its own little clique. And for them to do a game out of it, I thought was very brave. And I thought they smashed it. I thought they did a really interesting thing with the narrative. And actually, I can spread that out to all three of these because all of them aren't just copying the storylines of the films. They're doing interesting new things with the narrative. So The Warriors, it takes things back by like a week before the events of the film happened. In Scarface, it starts at the end of the film when they storm his mansion and then he has to build his empire back up. And in The Godfather, from what I remember, it's a separate character and you kind of see elements of the films coming in here and there. So I thought all of them were very clever in not just cashing in and just doing exactly what the film did. The Warriors, I think that still holds up. I fired it up not that long ago and I had a great time with it still. The characterization of all of them is great. I love that you can play as all of them. I think the beat 'em up mechanics are great, and I think the open, well, it's not really an open world, but the fact that you can shoplift and steal car radios and graffiti things keep things really interesting. And I like the hangouts where you can just go and chill and work out and talk to people. I think there's a real atmosphere to that game, and the world's all dank and miserable, and that's right up my alley.
Well, with your conversation about GIMPs earlier, I knew muscly men in leather sort of chaps and stuff working out in a room together and getting sweaty. I knew that would appeal to you.
And they're called things like Swan and Rembrandt.
You reckon he's named Swan after those papers for cigarettes?
I never not I didn't think about that until now, but potentially. Isn't he the one who is the leader by the end of it, Swan?
I think so. Who's the one who's like a nutcase, like off his head?
The one with the beer bottles.
Yeah.
Warriors, come
Yeah,
on.
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't remember his name, but yeah, he's got a really high pitched voice, and he just seems like that squitty kid in the playground who just used to tell on everybody.
Yeah.
Or he'd stir the pot and then hide behind the bins.
Yeah. What's that?
That
What's the
kind
name
of
of
guy.
the guy who, can you remember Recess, the cartoon?
Yeah.
There was a snivelly little rat sort of character. He reminds us of him.
A name like is I don't think it is, but a name like
Randall?
Wendell.
Wendell Randall, something, something like
Yeah.
that. Yeah.
So I think Warriors can stay as it is, and I think that's a clear remaster. Let's not change anything with that. Scarface. That is one of the craziest games I've ever played. It's taking the GTA formula, which so many people were doing at that time. I think Saints Row had already come out, and there was a lot of GTA clones out there. But I always thought Scarface did something really unique and original and just kind of took the absurdity and the extreme nature to some really interesting heights. Because if you remember, it starts off guns blazing, balls to the wall, and you have to start from the bottom and work your way up. There's a money laundering mini game in it throughout where you have to take all your crack and cocaine to the bank and launder it. And if you don't get it in the right spot, you lose money. And I always got really addicted to that for some reason. There's the bit with a chainsaw when you chop people up, and there's a mechanic in it called, I think it's called balls, where it's a rage mode and you don't take any damage and you just hear. It's not, I don't think it is Al Pacino, but it's an Al Pacino impersonator just swearing his head off into the microphone. So I think with new ideas and new engines and what we're seeing now with GTA and open worlds that we've got, they could do something really cool with Scarface and make it a lot more rounded and make the open world more immersive and you can do more things. I mean, imagine if you could go into shops and shoplift them and do more of the deals on the street corners, and they could really flesh that out. And I suppose, like in Yakuza Zero, do you remember there's a like a real estate mini game kind of to the side in it, which is really addictive if you do invest yourself in it. They could do little things like that. Like I was kind of thinking, do what Yakuza does with its open world, with its mini games, and put that into Scarface. I think that would be really interesting. And it's because of Tony Montana, the character, because he's just so ridiculous. And I thought Godfather was good. I didn't think it was amazing. I thought it was a very sensible game. And I know the original Godfather is classic and it's not completely ridiculous. It's quite grounded. And I like the fact that they just took it at its steady pace. And you have the cool bits like the head horse in the bed. That is a mission in it from what I remember. And you actually have to go to the stables and do it, which I thought was quite out there. I'm not sure what Peter would say about that now. But in terms of originality and what new ideas it could bring, maybe it's just not, it doesn't have a place anymore. So
Yeah.
I'm going to say, let's put Mr. Godfather in the bin.
Okay. I don't know whether this dragon soup is kicking in, but when you said, I don't know what Peter would say about that now, I was thinking, who the fuck's Peter? And then I realised what you meant. So yeah, maybe slow down on the dragon soup. Mine's slightly different to yours, Boxy, slightly different. So, firstly, Warriors, an amazing game. I streamed that, I think, at the Xbox version summer last year, and still, like you, had really good fun with it. And again, it was one of those cult classic films. I put it in the same sort of windows like Clockwork Orange and stuff like that. Like, it has its fans and it has really strong fans, and it's a great film, but it's not that mainstream sort of, this is definitely going to be a hit, people are going to buy it. So that one for me is getting a remake. I'd love to see that one completely redone and from the ground up. Again, like you say, they did really good things of doing like a week before the film and stuff. So I thought it would be really good in this day and age. You could have DLC that like links into during the film, different things and stuff like that. So I thought it would be really good to do. Now, with the other two, we were picking movie games. And I thought about it too late in the game because we sort of messaged yesterday, didn't we, of thinking what games we would do for it. And I haven't played the other two. And I've got both of them. Because they're getting quite pricey, Godfather and Scarface now. Warriors not, it's okay.
What are we doing?
What do you mean?
You haven't played them?
No.
Well, why didn't you tell me that yesterday when we were figuring this
because,
out?
Because it was late in the day. Because I was going to message you and say, have you played The Thing?
Yes.
I was going to put that one in because I have played that one. I love that game as well. But when you chose those three games, I have recently just added Scarface and Godfather into my PS2 collection, and I based my choices on what I was going to wanted to play next. So I thought, I've got reasons why I want to recycle and remaster the other. Now, stop, close your mouth. Close your mouth, right?
No.
What?
I mean, I'm in utter disbelief. You haven't played the games
that you're
trying to talk about.
No, right. I don't know what you're expecting from me.
I'm expecting you to actually have played the games that were supposed to be...
So you sent me a list of three games yesterday. I have two children. And you want me to play Scarface and Godfather before I went to bed with my poorly child.
I expected you to be...
Temperature.
I expected fever. You to be... You done?
Maybe.
I expected you to have come back to me and said, sorry, mate, I haven't played those. Can we choose some other three? That's what
saying,
a grown-up would do.
Are you saying I can't have an opinion unless I've experienced it?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, Ulysses is one of the greatest books ever written, but it might be. Who knows? I've never read it.
Okay. Right. Do you want to listen to me reasons what I'm going to do with the other two?
Yeah, go on. It'll be a laugh.
Okay. So, remaster Scarface, because out of the two, that's the one that I want to play the most. I don't want to get rid of it. And... from lots of conversations I've had with people who tell me to play it, they say it's got a very Vice City vibe, which is a game that is top tier for me, one of my favourite games of all time. And the same as you, if I'm playing a game now and it's a remaster of an old one, do I want a one grounded in Godfather, great film, Godfather 2 better, but grounded in reality, calm characters, or do I want to play it as some absolute psychotic maniac going around doing whatever he wants? I know exactly which one I want to do. And for me as well, when I was thinking about The Godfather, we've got the Mafia series and the very good games, and obviously you've got the remasters and stuff of those now. So do you need to play The Godfather when you've got the Mafia games? To be fair, Mafia 3 can... I would take a hot steaming shit all over Mafia 3 because it absolutely... Oh, it wasn't such a bad game. It was okay. I like it. I love the setting. I love New Orleans. However, I have played through that game and completed about four times because there's one trophy glitched on me every single time I play through it. I just hate it so much. Mafia 3. Oh. Mafia 3, the one where you play as the Vietnam vet. And he comes back and he's taking everything down. But there's when you've got your bosses, there's a trophy where you have to be left with only one. And basically what you do is when you complete missions, you give territories to different sort of gang members. And you give it all to the same person, so the others betray you, and you're left with one. Four times I played through that game. Four times. And it glitches. For some reason, it just doesn't pop.
Any normal person would have just thrown in the towel.
I would have called
it a day after the first time that happened. But Mafia 3, what a disappointment. Because like you, I think the original Mafia is fantastic. I think it's...
put me off the series because I hadn't played 1 or 2. I played 3 first because it came on PSN for free.
Okay.
and I wasn't going to go back, but then when they got the remasters, I went back, and I'm so glad I did. So glad I did.
No, Mafia 1 is really special. Mm-hmm. I think the remake, that's what a remake should be. Really elevating it to some interesting ways. And Mafia 2 was a good time, I thought. And I think they could remake that and do something quite cool with it, because the open world wasn't that interesting from what I remember. You can do too much within the world. But Mafia 3, what a disappointment that was. I think I put it as number one on one of my lists.
For disappointing games.
And as disappointing. And as you say, there is a good game in there somewhere, but just very bad executed.
I loved walking around for me collectibles and there being 60s, 70s Playboy magazines. That's all good with me. But the story left a bit. So that is why I was recycle Godfather.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is a really well thought out, cogent description for games I've not played.
Yeah, but you still really should have played them. And we should have probably not have done these. We could have done the thing if you'd have mentioned it.
I know. Well, to be fair, we're both on school holidays. We both have kids. We sort of arranged everything that we're doing last minute. And I thought, you know what it is? Boxy is a top tier family man. I don't want to. He's probably had thought out his arguments and what he's going to do already. I just want him to have time with the family and not have to rethink about all these things. I'm just a nice person.
What a load of shit.
And with that bullshit, let's move on to our last section of this episode. Yes, apologies or congratulations, depends how you see it. No hot take in this episode, because as well as going weekly, we are trimming our episodes down a little bit. So, wait a minute. Weekly episodes, Tom's got trivia, and you don't have to listen to our shite for as long. Oh, it's a good week.
World's gone topsy-turvy.
Oh, it has. It has. So next episode, we will have Boxy's hot take. But for today's stolen topic, what we're going to do is blind ranking 10 things. We haven't told each other what the category is going to be. And basically how this works is we have a list of 1 to 10. I will write it down now so we know where we're at when we're doing it. I'm going to give, and Boxy's going to give me, some different categories and give us, let's say it was best Mega Drive games. We'll say best Mega Drive games, and then they will rank where they think it is out of 10 without knowing what the games coming up are going to be. So let's see, and play along at home if you're doing it, and let us know in the comments what your 10 list would be, and if it's better than ours. Boxy, dealer's choice, do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
I've got some cool ones for you, so tell you what. You happy for me to pitch you some?
Let's rock and roll.
Wonderful. So a few episodes ago, we kind of surprised each other a little bit when we were getting to know each other in the early stages of this project that we're doing, that we're Disney adults. Mm-hmm. We love a good Disney film. And I have got some Disney games for you.
Yes, yes.
10 right. Disney games, specifically.
You've excited me, Boxy.
Now, because I know some of your favorite games of all time, I have omitted one or two because I think they just get
think Kingdom
spot.
Hearts?
Maybe.
Oh, we'll see.
I've got my list here, and I'm going to mark your numbers down where you think they rank. And then halfway through, we do a bit of a recap where you are with things.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Okay, so let's start then. We're going to start with a PS1 classic, an incredibly hard game, and one which I think is a bit infamous for how difficult it is. Mickey's Wild Adventure.
Ooh. Now, when you say Mickey's Wild Adventure, can I also include Mickey Mania on the Mega Drive? Because they are basically the same game, and I've put like an hour or two into Mickey's Wild Adventure, whereas I rented Mickey Mania so many weekends. Obviously, it's better on the PS1. There's, I think, a couple of more levels and stuff like that. But you still start off with, like, the Steamboat Willy level, then go to the, it's like the Mad
Doctor.
Scientist. Yeah, that one. And then I think in the woods, and you get chased by a moose.
Moose Hunters, that's the next
and
one.
And it always blew my mind on the Mega Drive that, like, it makes us think of, like, Pandemonium. You know, the column that spins round, and then you walk on it. On the Mega Drive, that was, like, Christ, it's 3D. It was amazing. So Mickey Mania, a very hard game. See, your first one's hard, isn't it? Because you're thinking, what are we going? Are you going to give us utter crap next? Are we going to get in some good games? Can I just say, caveat before we start, is this my personal list or what I think, like, in general? So is it my top 10?
Yeah.
Oh, all right, okay.
Well, right. I mean, in general, or your opinion, it's the same thing.
Like, if I was saying these are the top 10 games of all time, in my opinion, I'd probably not put in some of my favourite games of all time. Do you know what I mean?
No, no, it's your list. Yeah. So where you would put
it. But it was a perfectly fine question, my issue. You looked at me like I just pissed on the kids at Christmas.
I don't care what you do in your free time, Tom. No, I was... you said my opinion or...
Oh, right, generally... right. Five. I'm going right in the middle. Mickey. All right. And I'm... Can I have a Mickey Mania / Wild Adventure?
Wild Adventure.
I do want to get it for the PS1, actually.
My only stipulate with you having Mickey Mania instead of Mickey's Wild Adventure, I was going to ask whether that fucking bit with the climbing the tower with the barrels rolling down it was still in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause
well, I said that's where, you know, where it spins round, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. On the Mega Drive, that like blew me mind because it was like 3D. It was still on the Mega Drive part going round. And you're like, whoa, this is amazing. And by the time you said, whoa, it's amazing, you're being killed by two bats, three barrels, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Yeah, an insanely hard game. And I think that barrel bit is impossible. I don't think it's possible to not get hit on that section. Mm-hmm. And I always remember in the Mad Doctor section, these skeletons jump down at you. And even if one of their bones touches
when,
you...
When they explode, when you kill them.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Impossible.
The amount of times I've been taken out by a skeleton's pelvis bone. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Right. Number five, Mickey Mania, Mickey's Wild Adventure. What will go next?
Okay, so you said Kingdom Hearts might be the one I've admitted, and you are right. I'm not including the original Kingdom Hearts, but I am going to include Kingdom Hearts 3.
See, Kingdom Hearts 3 is a great game, but the story is so friggin' convoluted. For me, the best Kingdom Hearts story is Kingdom Hearts 1 before it went... I would say anime is the best way to sort of describe it. Like, proper out. Even anime, there's great animes that aren't as convoluted as this. But I loved the Toy Story level in that. So good.
Yeah, it was good.
Oh, in the mall, it is absolutely great. No, this is where it's hard. In my opinion, it's better than the last one. But have I put the last one too high? Cock. I'm gonna have
it's to harder go, than you think, isn't it?
It is. I'm going to have to go four.
Four.
Four
okay.
For Kingdom Hearts 3. And I'm someone, I'm not saying, right, that the story is convoluted and I haven't tried. I've got the names of the friggin' games as well. I think it's Kingdom Hearts 1.5 and 2.8 together. So it's got all the games that... And again, who brings out a series on, like, PS2, Nintendo DS, mobile, your toaster, PS3. So you can't, like, follow all the story. So I've got the remake, and I played through, like, the ones that weren't on the systems I had. And then I think the ones that are, like, on PSP or mobile, it's turned it into, like, a cutscene. And you can watch the cutscene. I've watched all them. I still don't know what's going on. But here's what we say about the games. I'm still excited about the fourth one coming out.
Yeah, and I think that's the issue. I mean, if the gameplay was rubbish, then it would be a lot easier. Yeah. But because they are so much fun, I think people put up with the absolute nonsense storytelling that it has. And I would say it is convoluted. I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And we talked about Metal Gear Solid 4 on the last pod. I would take that any other day than trying to follow what the hell Kingdom Hearts is on about.
And you know what it is with this... obviously, you've got the Disney nostalgia with it. So you have a fun game. You got your Disney nostalgia. I've also got the Final Fantasy nostalgia as well. So it's a trifecta. A trifecta of bullshit storytelling.
Okay, so we're two down. Let's throw a rogue one in there. Epic Mickey.
Ooh, Epic Mickey. Again, a game that you'll probably come at us because I haven't played every game ever released. I've got it on the Wii, but I've not played it yet. It does look like an interesting one.
You think so little
one.
Of me? I haven't played Epic Mickey either.
Well, I do think there's some bad Disney games, so I'm going to put it in an 8. Haven't played it, but I can't put it at the bottom because I know you're probably going to have some bad ones in there.
I remember when the press came out around Epic Mickey and they said, oh yeah, it's this really dark game about Disney. And I think that's a really good idea because Disney is pretty dark when you get into the nits of it all. And then the game came out and it was pretty tame and pretty uninteresting from what I heard anyway. But the rebrushed,
that's it.
Re-something is out. It's pretty cheap. I think it was one of those games that came out and it charged like 50 quid and clearly no one was buying it because the price dropped by about £45 in about a week. So, okay, Epic Mickey is at 8. Yeah. Let's go for a classic. Okay. DuckTales.
DuckTales. 7.
What? DuckTales?
Yeah, not a fan.
You played it, right?
Yeah, it's 8-bit, isn't it? It's Master System NES.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, 7.
Not even with Scrooge's pogo stick mechanic.
Scrooge?
Yeah, you're Scrooge McDuck. Off.
No, I'm not a fan of when there's lots of coins together, they will act as a solid, not a liquid. So I'm not a fan of anyone who thinks they can dive into a vault full of coins and treat it as a liquid when it would be act as a solid.
I was wondering why you told me to fuck off. I was like, I haven't said anything horrible.
No, 7. Just dial it in. I don't need any discussion about that. Just put it on 7.
It's your list.
I know. Yeah. It's my opinion.
I mean, I wouldn't have put it at 7. I would have that would be in the top 5 for me. But anyway, it's not my list. We'll carry on.
Not your list.
Let's say Goof Troop on SNES.
Oh, 3. Straight up 3. Do you know what it is? Goof Troop, I didn't have a SNES, you know, back in the day, but my friends across the road did and they had this, and it was one of the first times I played like through a game co-op. Not like, well, Streets of Rage probably as well, but that sort of puzzle element to it, loved it. I've got it, I got it for this Christmas, actually. I got Goof Troop in a reprinted box because fuck expensive Nintendo cardboard. But yeah, awesome game, really good game. If you've not played that one, have a go and have a go with someone else. It's definitely a two-player game.
It's a surprisingly good game. And it's one of those ones you look at and you think, well, this is going to be a load of shit. It's just a cash grab. But it's surprisingly good. And I'm going to give you... Well, no, I can't give any bonus points because you took trivia off me. But let's try and weed trivia back in a little bit.
Okay.
Who made that game?
Do you mean like publishing or...
No, who directed it?
Who directed it? Oh, so it's going to be someone big. Like, it wasn't Hideo Kojima, I know that.
It's someone very famous.
Is it like a famous game director, or is it like an actual movie? All right, okay.
Yep. Before he hit it big, he had an absolute
Sam Lake.
No. Oh. It's Shinji Mikami.
No way.
Yeah, before he went all...
Because it's Capcom, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But before he went Resident Evil and blew the whole world away with his Jill sandwiches, he was making Goof Troop.
That's where all the puzzle mechanics come from. Resident Evil wouldn't exist if Goof Troop didn't.
And that's why I should keep on doing trivia.
No. Right.
Okay. Let's have a quick recap because we've done 5 already. Yep. So far in third place, the highest, we have Goof Troop.
Yeah.
And number 4, we have Kingdom Hearts 3.
Mm-hmm.
And number 5, middle of the pack, we have Mickey's Wild Adventure.
Mania.
Okay. At number 7, disappointingly, we have DuckTales, which should be a lot higher, but it's not my list, so never mind. And at number 8, we have Epic Mickey.
I'm happy with that so far. There's nothing in a, like, where this came out and went, oh, I put that in the wrong position. I'm happy with everything so far.
Apart from DuckTales. Okay. So, next one. Mally Mallard in Cold Shadow.
I don't even... What's this similar to come out for?
SNES.
Right. 10.
Now, this
is
game
it, is it Maui Mallard?
Yes,
as in Maui Mallard. Maori type of...
Maui Mallard.
As in, like, Maori?
No, Maui. Okay, context. So this game does sound made up. Just what the inspiration behind this game was, Donald Duck, they put him in a spin-off called Maui Mallard, which was a sort of Magnum P.I. inspired character. But by day, he is that, wearing a Hawaiian shirt and a cap. And by night, he is a ninja.
Obviously.
Yeah. I mean, it made sense to them. But it's a very crazily weird game, but it is surprisingly good.
Well, actually, I'm going to take it back then. I'm going to go 9. I'm going to go 9. I feel like you've got some steam and dog crap coming up, so we'll go for 9. I'll just put Mallard in 9. I can't remember the name. Maui
Mallard. Okay, so the next one is Mickey Castle of Illusion.
Castle.
Yeah.
Oh, this could be controversial. I know this is up the top. No, I never played it much as a kid. I was a World of Illusion man. I put loads of hours into World of Illusion.
Right, educate me. Castle of Illusion, World of Illusion.
Castle of Illusion was like Master System. No, it came out on the Mega Drive as well. Castle of Illusion, you play as Mickey, you go to a castle and you're saving Minnie Mouse. World of Illusion was Mickey and Donald were magicians and they accidentally went into another world and you like fly a carpet and there's an underwater. Oh, it's such a good game. I think it was a Mega Drive exclusive. That's why you might not have played it. Have a go, emulate it, or however you want to do it. World of Illusion, it's a very good game. But people put Castle of Illusion up there. It's the one that gets the remakes and stuff like that. But looking at my list, it's got to be, for me, 6 or 10.
6 or 10?
Mm-hmm. It's not going 1 or 2.
Okay.
We can't go 1 or 2 because I'm not a big fan of it, so it's got to go 6 or 10. I'm going to go 10.
10, bottom of the pack.
Yeah, I think it's probably better than Mallard, Epic Mickey, maybe DuckTales, but I feel like a game I like is going to come out and that should go in 6, so I'm going to go Castle of Illusion in 10.
I can feel the torches being lit.
Yeah,
people are very passionate about that game.
Especially Disney people, they are psychotic.
Yeah, good luck. Yep. Okay, so I'm going to mix things up. I said, we're not going to do Kingdom Hearts. We've already had Kingdom Hearts 3, so let's throw in Kingdom Hearts 2.
It's got to go 6. With what I've got left, it can't go 1 or 2. It's got to go 6.
I thought that would be a number 1.
That the start just is...
awful.
And I'll tell you what is, I played 1 and absolutely loved it, and I never played 2 on the PS2. I didn't play it till it got remastered, and I think PS4 or 3, I can't remember. I played it then and did really enjoy it. But that first bit with Roxas, like an hour, 2 hour tutorial, Christ on a bike. I bet that turned away so many people. If you weren't a fan of the game, you're probably like, I'm just going.
It adds nothing to the game as well. Yeah. There's not even a point to it, really.
And I hate how it's Sora's name, but we'll just put an X in as well. Like, what? Right, if you're going to rearrange these letters, think of something clever. We'll just put an X in for Sora X. Bugger off.
Okay, we've got 2 left.
We've got 1 and 2. I feel like you're cheating here.
How can I be cheating?
I feel like you've got a list of like 30 games and you're like, right, he's got 1 or 2 left. Now I'm going to pick really bad games.
No, I can't actually. No, I was about
to show us there.
I've had too much wine. Clearly, I was about to show him my fucking list.
Right. Okay. Then I'll trust you. Because go on
what,
then.
What schoolboy error? Okay. I know you like this game, so this might take number 1.
Okay.
Quackshot.
Oh, the only thing that's stopping me with Quackshot is, what's your last game gonna be?
Wouldn't you like to know?
There are Disney games I like. Do I get? My veiny Disney member out and slap it on the table. Number 1, Quackshot. Go on, let's Donald, do son. Great game. Absolutely great game. Had no right to be such a good game, and it's just great.
It's not a bad one.
It's great. It's no, number 1. It's better than bloody DuckTales.
I was about to say it's no DuckTales. And your final one, which is taking, if I'm not mistaken, the number...
2.
two spots. Oh, okay. So you have to like this game.
I
You're
have
in real
to.
trouble if you don't.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's called Other Things in some other versions, but this is the one that I had, so we're going with this one.
Okay.
Donald Duck's Quack Attack.
In number two.
Yeah, I can feel the
Is that on the
disappointment in that one.
PS2?
I had it on N64, but it was on PS1
Yeah.
as well. It's a very Crash Bandicoot-y kind of game.
So, by my estimations, I've got in number 10, Castle of Illusion. Number
Yep.
9, Maui Mallard. Number 8, Epic Mickey. 7, DuckTales. 6, Kingdom Hearts 2. 5, Mickey Mania. 4, Kingdom Hearts 3. 3, Goof Troop. 2, Quack Attack. 1, Quack Shot.
I wouldn't be happy with that.
I'm not. Quack Attack should be much further down. Much further down. Castle of Illusion should be further up. I stick by me DuckTales. Every game above DuckTales and Castle Illusion is, apart from Quack Attack, is better. So DuckTales for me is in the right spot. Because if I take Quack Attack and start with Castle of Illusion, there are six games better than DuckTales there. So I'm happy to annoy you. That entertains me.
There's a few things I would disagree. I mean, DuckTales needs to be in the top five, I would say.
Nah.
I think I respect your opinion on Goof Troop. I think that's a respectable place. Epic Mickey can be number 12 as far as I'm concerned. I've heard that's awful, that game. Kingdom Hearts 2 is definitely better than Kingdom Hearts 3, so I would
Yeah.
list that
Yeah.
higher. Castle of Illusion, I think you're a bit harsh. I think that could go up a few. And
But
I have a
when you say I'm
friend.
harsh, I didn't have many spots left, did I? When I
Well, that's
got
your
to that one.
problem. But you know, bit of force for
All right.
foresight, bit of foresight. You know, there's good Disney games out
They are. That's why I put it further down, because I thought you were going to come with some good ones.
there. And Mally Mallard should not be at nine. That's a fun game.
I've never played it. It's hard when you get one in there that you've never played.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
No.
For a game collector, you surprisingly played very few games.
I have played a lot of games, just not the shit you come out with.
You spend far too much time platinuming. This is your problem.
Well, it
If
is,
you
that's why I.
took, I don't know, 50% of those hours
Yeah.
that you put into platinuming things and put them into other games, think of the breadth of knowledge. You might actually get a trivia question right every now and then. Shall we do my
You know,
list?
no, I no. I mean, I agree. This is why I've stopped Platinum Hunting. I really agree. I look at all the games there, but I always get that ask that question because every now and again I'll do a stream. Well, it'll just be me with my phone, and people ask to look at like certain games in my collection and stuff like that. I don't like doing them. Honestly, I'm knackered by the end of them. But honestly, a stream for like 2 hours gets me like over 100 followers. It's ridiculous. I don't know why people sort of dial into it, but they do. Anyway, loads of people always say how many of these you've played, and a lot of them are like, you know, your people who are like, bro, going back to like episode two. Yeah, how many of you actually played though, bro? And I've played, I'd say, a surprisingly large amount because a lot of the games are from me growing up, so I've just played them over time. It is getting a smaller percentage now that I'm sort of trying to get a full 360 and a full PS2 collection. So I'm adding stuff in. Oh, there's a quid game, Rugby 06. I'm never gonna play it. You know what I mean? It's more the chase for the games and stuff. But I do try to play quite a lot of them. I bet I've played more games than you, prick.
Probably. I mean, you've played Retail Retribution, so that's the only game you really need to
There we
play,
go.
as
There
far
we
as I'm
go.
concerned. No, to be fair, my collection may be small and tight, that word again, that you love. But I give them time. They're my babies, if you will. I
It's not the
nurture them.
size of your collection, it's how you use it.
I look after them.
There you go.
And from my last video that I
It's a
did,
great
where
one.
I do a story where I got burgled from a loan shark. The amount of people who commented and said, well, they were stupid. They should have just stolen your video game collection. And I felt like I had to kind of comment on a few occasions and say, you do know that this is fiction. This didn't actually happen. But,
This is the internet. Can I just say on that, please follow Boxyarty on TikTok. His stuff is amazing, and we've had talks about the algorithm and stuff a lot of times. And your stuff is criminally underpushed, criminally underpushed. So please go and follow him, and just say that I sent you there because that'll annoy him.
I really appreciate, in a moment of sincerity, I really do appreciate it, and I love you, I love your channel, and I love your community as well, because they are fantastic people.
Yeah. Let's go on to your top 10 list.
Give it to me like stone cold cider.
Now, what the fuck is stone cold cider? Right. Have you had any thoughts?
Do you watch Stuart Lee, first of all? Before we get on to that,
I haven't seen Stuart Lee in ages. I used to watch a lot of stand-up. But then when I realised I was the funniest person in the world, I just stopped watching it as much. But I do... He's very, like, Jack D-esque, but a little bit more out there, a little bit more...
He's very out there. He's very breaking down the foundations of what comedy is and stuff. But he says this line where he says, give it to me straight, like pear cider made from 100% pears.
Oh,
and he's like, oh, it's a saying that all my family used to say, in generations before them used to say it, and I don't know, it just always stuck with me. But I didn't want to plagiarize him completely.
I was going to say, so now we're realizing that your lines and jokes are all plagiarized as well as your trivia. It's good to know. I just went top 10 video game protagonists.
Okay, let's do it.
So let's go straight in with my first protagonist. Lara Croft.
Oh, what Lara are we talking about? Original or...
Lara PS3? Over time. Every era.
Lara changes over time.
Change over time.
No, we need to be more specific than that, because PS1 Lara is spunky, confident, very charismatic. I'd say PS3 Lara takes a while to find her ground. She's a little bit more vulnerable. And Shadow of the Tomb Raider, Lara can go fuck herself, because I hated that version of her. So which one is it?
All of them.
Oh, for God's sake.
As a main character, the reason I thought this on stream the other day, what was I playing through? I'll not tell you, that's next episode. But we were talking about them Mount Rushmores of like video game characters and stuff like that. That's why I thought about this. If you say Lara Croft, you've got to think of her as what she's done. But again, this is a personal list.
Okay. So, well, just for the record, I love Lara in the PS1 era. I think she's fantastic.
Triangle boobs.
And not because of the triangle boobs. I think she's got great personality. I love the whole rich girl who doesn't give a shit attitude, confident, knows what she wants. I liked the direction with the PS2 and the PS3 versions, but it just took a little bit more time to warm to her, and I thought it really ended badly with the Shadow of the Tomb Raider version. So
did you like Lara Croft? Was Shadow of the Tomb Raider the last one?
Yeah.
What about Rise of the Tomb Raider when she was first? Did you like that and it went bad?
Rise was the second one. There was Tomb Raider 2013, which was the first reboot, which I liked.
So did you like the character in that one, and she sort of, you grew to hate her?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I just thought she had a terrible personality in Shadow. I just thought, God, I
Shadow the last one where she like starts the end of the world and she's just like, oh, well, and then all whingy about it.
Yeah, she's very, very complainy.
Yeah, like, oh no, I've started the end of the world. Yeah, you have, fix it. Because she steals some Mexican Mayan artifact, doesn't she? And that starts the whole... It's your fault. How to make yourself love a character. Yeah, let's make a start the end of the world. Then whinge about it the whole game.
Mm.
I'm with you on that.
No, icons don't do that. So... to mix it all together, we're probably going to be in the middle of the pack, so let's put her at 5.
Oh, low for me. You know I've got a little shrine to Lara in my...
I bet you do. A very pointy shrine, I bet.
I do. It's great, because you know, always say the joke, your tits are acute, because they're angular. Yeah? No? Okay.
Steady.
I just thought that joke there, that joke was Dragon Soup approved. So, second character.
Tom's very close to being homeless, by the way. Yeah. He's on the verge of homelessness.
I've drunk nothing else today, you know. I'm literally on 3/4 of this can. Nathan Drake.
Ooh, okay. The charismatic genocidal maniac. He is very charming, I suppose. I liked him the best in 2. I thought he was still finding his feet in one a little bit. Three, he was okay. I stopped liking him when we learned about his past, when we went to him when he was a child,
Was he in
and I
like
thought that.
Mexico or something? An orphan in Mexico, like some South American. I remember stealing something in like a South American country as a
Yeah,
kid, Nathan.
he's always been a thieving little twat. But he's all right. He's a good time, I suppose. Let's put him at three.
Oh, see that I put them after each other because I thought obviously Nathan Drake is like the modern day Lara Croft, really, isn't she? Isn't he? Sorry.
Yeah.
So you go on
I
Drake
think I
then.
do. I think I prefer him a bit more to Lara. I mean, he's very charming. I suppose it's what we all aspire to be, someone who can kill hundreds and hundreds of people and still come out fairly good looking and sympathetic. So yeah, fair enough. Number
That's what
three.
everyone aspires to be, is a boxy, a homicidal maniac that looks good.
No, I meant it in the sense of, he does a lot. He can do no wrong. You know what I mean?
Okay.
God, I talked myself out of that one well.
I was going to say. Your next one, then, a classic. Again, we're going to have to go from start of career to end of the career. Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, fuck him. Nine.
Oh, that's the Nintendo boy in you coming out, isn't it? That is harsh.
No, it's fair.
Harsh.
No, it's so you know what? Sonic has never done it for me. Even when I was young. And there was just always this thing about if you grew up with a Super Nintendo, you would look across from your lounge window and see your neighbors playing Sonic, and you'd be like, oh, they're the cool kids. No, they weren't. They were just posers like you.
Whoa,
They didn't know
whoa,
what they were talking
whoa.
about.
I see. I've got a love-hate relationship with Sonic. Sonic got me into gaming, but Sonic the Hedgehog, as a Sonic the Hedgehog fan, the first game is shit. It's not a Sonic the Hedgehog game. After the first level, it is slow, which is not what a Sonic game should be.
Yeah.
Sonic the Hedgehog 2 is great, and then from Sonic 3D onwards, well, I liked Sonic Generations. I liked Sonic Mania. And how many games has he had? He'd be knocked down lower in my opinion because of the tripe he's had out, but he'd have to be high just because, like, downstairs in the game room, I've got like 200 Sonic the comics that I collected as a kid. Like, it's definitely rose tinted for me, but 10 is harsh. I'm trying to see if
Well,
we
I didn't put him
have
at 10,
any.
I put him at 9.
Oh, all right, okay. 9 is
What?
harsh.
You know what I hate is when the media and marketing tells us that something is cool. I hate that. And that
Is that
Sonic
because you're
is the.
not cool?
No, it's just because that was
Yeah.
what Sonic was. It was like, look how amazing this thing is. And it's like, well, all right, but. And they. I mentioned Sonic Underground where they put him in a band,
Yeah.
and he always has this really
But
trippy, rocky music
I'm
soundtracks.
trying to think. I'm trying to think of the age difference between me and you, Boxy, because I'm obviously a little bit older. I was 5 years old when the first Sonic came out, and that
Okay.
flash cartoon, fast and cool, like appealed to me, like really pulled us in. But you probably were you a bit younger? It was about 92, wasn't it? 92, 93.
I was still sucking on my mum's teat in 92.
Well, that could be any time because it was 23, was it, when you stopped?
Very good. I'm a 91 baby. So my first console was SNES, and I think I got it in 94, maybe.
Yeah. At 3 years old, you were playing a SNES at three.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I mean, I probably wasn't very good at it, but I
He's still not.
definitely remembered because we moved house when I was young, and I definitely remember having it in the living room playing Super Mario All-Stars.
See
So
that? Yeah, so the that's the NES ones, isn't it? Like redone.
yeah,
Yeah. Like
the first remasters maybe.
I honestly go back now and wish I'd been. Oh, my child self is hating me. Wish I'd been a Nintendo kid
We should just end
because.
the podcast there.
Because it is so. I think I'd be a better gamer now. I have no patience. I try to rush it. I mean, I have ADHD, so Sonic probably appealed to that sort of just constant douche, 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 douche. But I honestly feel I would have been a better, more strategic, slower sort of gamer. I think I probably pulled it back a bit because I went N64. So I played your Banjo-Kazooie, your Mario 64. So I sort of went in there. I think, can't believe I admitted that. That's the dragon soup speaking.
We should drink more often, Tom.
We should.
What I love about Mario and why I compare it to Sonic and why I don't think much of Sonic is because I always think Mario evolved.
Yeah.
And every new game just brought something new. Mm-hmm. But Sonic does something new and then it just wallows in that pool for about two or three games.
I feel like Sonic, a lot of people who probably played Sonic back in the day, it's all about remembering the lines and your route through and trying to get quicker and a high score. It's probably why I'm a speedrunner now with Jack and Daxter and Spyro, just because of my upbringing on Sonic the Hedgehog.
It's very optimistic of yourself calling you. Sorry, let me say that again. Edit. Because you left in a bit on the last pod where I fucked up and I was like, can you please edit that out? And you fucking left that in.
if you ever fuck up and it is that, and I think it's funny in the edit, I will always leave you in saying, edit that out. I'll never do it and cut the edit this out, if you know what I mean.
Listeners at home, I'm always on the back foot because I'm not in the editing chair.
I give you the option to let me change anything you want. I'll let you listen before it goes out.
Yeah, you do, because you send me the draft like a few hours before about to go live.
I've got a busy life.
I think it's very optimistic of you, Tom, to say that you're a speed runner. I mean, I could say I'm a speed runner because I completed things.
No, you couldn't, because you're not on a speed running list. Like, it doesn't matter how long I took to complete Jack and Daxter, I am still number 123 in the world.
You should feel very proud of yourself.
Are you in the top 130 of any game?
No, and I don't want to be. All right, we want to put you on the list, but you're going to be dead last.
Do you know what I've started to think about now? Is because I'm going to do this every holiday. I'm going to do a speed run on a game. So obviously they'll build up. I'll tell you what is coming up for me on the next episode. But I was thinking, is there a Guinness World Record for the slowest speedrunner in the world? And if I just keep this up, could I get in contact? I was going to say with Guinness. It's not Guinness, is it? It is Guinness, yeah.
It is Guinness, yeah.
I'm going to get in contact with them and say, I am the slowest speedrunner in the world. I have 20 slowest speedruns on games. Get myself in that gamers. Because you think, they bring out a Gamers World Records book every year. They can't change often. So one time they've got to think, right, we need something new. He is this young upstart from Sunderland. He is setting the world alight. And I get myself in the Guinness World Records, and I will mention our podcast worldwide, baby.
That's some free marketing for you.
Yeah, there you go.
But that's just like, it's like a Bonnie Blue sort of achievement.
come on, it's better than that.
It's not far off.
Right, let's just move on. Let's move on from Bonnie Blue. Right, your fourth. A man who's...
Oh, yeah, we're doing this, I forgot.
Yeah, yeah. Right. A fourth, a man whose surname is a synonym for Nirvana, James Sunderland.
Ooh, I like a bit of James. Mm. He is a very complex three-dimensional character.
Just so you know, if you are not conscious of who James Sunderland is, he is the main character from Silent Hill 2.
He is, and I'm very interested to hear your thoughts because I know you've been playing it. I love James. He's so goofy and weird. But I feel very sorry for him. And what he did, spoiler. I'm not going to spoil it, mm-hmm. But he's an enigma. And I like something to puzzle over. So he is going at a solid 2.
Ooh, a number 2 for James Sunderland.
He's a well-written character. And in video games, there aren't many of them.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Hot take there. Right. Number 5 is, and he can be classed as a protagonist, he has his own games, Luigi. Number one, I think... shall I just put it in? Number one? You love a bit of Luigi's Mansion, I know it.
I do like Luigi's Mansion, and I think it's Yahtzee on YouTube who says, out of the Mario family, Luigi's the only one who actually has a personality
Is
because he's always
Yahtzee no punctuation?
zero punctuation, yeah.
Zero punctuation.
And it's something you don't really think about, but it's kind of right. You know, he's always the coward. He's always the one who's afraid and who always hides behind Mario. But
I
then
thought
when
that would
push comes
resonate with you.
to shove, hilarious. I'm a very brave man, I'll have you know. I honked my horn
Brave,
the other day.
brave man. I nearly honked me horn. And then
Huh?
I nearly honked me horn, and then I hid behind all the bairns in the car. If I honk and anything goes on, he doesn't want to see his dad with fisticuffs in the middle of the highway. So I was the bigger man.
I honked my horn, and I'll tell you what, that sheep didn't know what to do with itself.
Brave
Right,
men
Louis.
don't say I honked my horn.
What do they say?
Well, I would say, if I would say I'd say I'd use my horn or I blew my horn. I wouldn't say I honked my horn. You sound like a goose.
Yeah, but that's what the old school. Oh, chaps, I honked my horn the other day.
I'm sure whoever you honked at was quivering with fear.
Oh, this wine is tasting good. Right, okay. Luigi. I don't have much strong feelings for Luigi. The only time I felt really disappointed in him was when I thought he was in Super Mario 64 with that urban myth that was out there that Luigi was in it, and then it turned out he wasn't. So I'm going to put him at 7.
Seven. Okay, so at the halfway point, we have James Sunderland at number two, Nathan Drake at number three, Lara Croft, middle of the pack at number five, Luigi at seven, and Sonic at nine. Are you happy with that so far?
Yeah, I'm considering whether Sonic could have gone last, but I'm interested to see what comes next. But yeah, so far I'm pretty happy with that.
Well, your sixth character is Joel from The Last of Us.
Ooh, okay. I like Joel. I think he set a bad standard for the video game industry, though, because so many people just tried to copy him after that. And I know that's not his fault, but he's not.
You can't besmirch him because he was so good, other people tried to copy what he did.
Yeah,
That's like
but.
saying Grand Theft Auto was a shit series because everyone's copied it.
Yeah, but Joel, the kind of burly man who doesn't care, but he really does care, and all that damaged personality. I mean, I get enough of that at home. So he's okay, but I wouldn't say he was anything mind-blowing. 6.
Under Lara Croft, is that where you would put them, or is that where you put them because you haven't got other spaces?
Well, let me put it this way. When Joel died, I wasn't heartbroken.
Oh, I wasn't,
There you go.
but I half expected it.
I mean,
That I think that affected it. I was, I did weep like a child when his daughter Sarah died at the start of the game.
yeah, and that's when he was best, I would say, before he got all gruff and I don't care about anything, but I really do.
So number six is good. Your next one I picked because of what you said you've been playing recently, Corvo Eterno from Dishonored.
Okay.
He's the main
I
character in
don't.
one and two, isn't he? I'm sure it's Corvo.
You know what? I think he's the main character in number one. I mean, in number two, you get a choice to play as either a man or a woman. And I can't remember if it was Corvo or not. But I didn't play as him. I played as her because I thought she'd be more
Because she
stealthy
dresses a lady at the
focused.
weekend.
Yeah.
The main
But I
character
thought she.
of Dishonored 2 that they play control are Corvo Eterno and Emily Caldwyn, his
Yeah,
daughter.
so I played as Emily in the
His daughter.
second. And I think part of the reason was because I didn't really like him in the opening setup of it all. I thought he was a bit, and I didn't think he was that interesting. So that
Okay.
says it for me. Number 10.
Oh, number 10. Okay. Corvo. And the next one, Ezio Auditore, Assassin's Creed 2 main character.
I'm
I've
not.
just my notes have auto-corrected auditory to auditory. So Ezio of hearing, if you want him, where would you put it? I know you're not a big Assassin's fan, but I was trying to put in characters that you would like and not like hoping that you'd have to put them above characters that you did actually like.
Do you know what? I think we're still on track here with this.
Okay.
As you say, I'm not a massive Assassin's Creed fan. Four's the only one I really like. Enzio, okay, he was all right, but nothing crazy. I don't think he's better than Luigi, so he's a number eight.
I put him in without even telling us. I knew exactly where you were going there. Read you like a book. So your penultimate one is Crash Bandicoot. You've got four and one left. Who is the last one going to be? Is the last one going to be good or bad? Because one of these next two has to go in number one. Better than James Sunderland.
The thing is, you could just choose anything.
I've got a list and I will show
you. You can't deviate from it.
And I've actually, my list, I put in order of what I wanted to ask you.
Okay.
That's all I'll say.
I'm trying to think who I would put above James Sunderland. Mm-hmm. Now, Crash Bandicoot probably wouldn't be one of them. I like Crash, but I think I like the game, not the character.
Right, okay.
Because he's kind of dumb and doesn't really know what's going on. And the only time I really liked him was in Crash 2, when he just gets completely manipulated and he thinks Cortex is his friend for the majority of the game. I mean, it all really hinges on what the last one is.
That's the whole point of the
but
game.
I have to stay true to myself, and I don't dislike Crash, but mm-hmm. I prefer the games behind it, not the character.
Yeah.
So... And he is definitely not better than James Sunderland, so let's put him at four.
So number four, Crash Bandicoot, a better written character than Lara Croft, Joel, Ezio Auditore, Sonic the Hedgehog, absolutely fuming. So, in your number one spot, better than James Sunderland?
Right,
Nathan
what
Drake.
Are you going to say? If you say anything like fucking, oh, what was his name? Delson Rowe from Infamous Second Son, or what's his face from Days Gone, who I fucking hated.
Are you ready?
I actually
don't know whether you'll be happy or sad with this next one. Let's see if you know who he is from the name. Jake Conway. The main character from Ride to Hell, Retribution, the worst Xbox 360 game of all time, you think is the best gaming protagonist of all time.
So well deserved. Jake, come up here, mate. Shake my hand. Here's your trophy. You deserve it, mate. You know what? I'm overwhelmed with happiness around that.
Do you know what I thought when I was putting the list together? I thought, at the end, is he going to have spaces at the top or the bottom empty? So do I put in someone really good that he has to put at the bottom, or do I put in someone like Jake Conway that you've got to put at the top? And I thought, you're always going to keep your top spots open, aren't you? Because you're going to think, I know someone better in my head that's going to come up.
I tell you what, Jake, without your fully clothed sex scenes, I wouldn't be where I am today in life. So you fully deserve the top spot, mate.
And on that bombshell, thank you very much for listening to this week's episode. Please join us next week. You don't have to wait 2 weeks, just wait 1 week. Thank you very much for listening. Find me, retro.revival1 on TikTok and Boxy.
Just the one and only place, TikTok, at BoxyRT.
And thank you very much for listening. And hopefully, you'll listen again in next week. See you later.
Bye.